Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, May 28th, 2024. I'm really happy to be with you today. I have a lot to share with you. If you're in the United States, I really hope that you enjoyed the holiday weekend. You know, it's Memorial Day it's just one of those great, like, transition opportunities. You know, I think officially summer doesn't happen until like the 20th, 21st of June, but Memorial Day is kind of like the beginning of summer, you know, holiday-wise, and people were out and about. And you know, my weekend was very productive. My yard, especially my flower beds, are being prepared to become what I've wanted them to be for the past few years. So that's really exciting. And I'm going to talk more about that in the teaching segment because, you know, no matter what I'm doing, there's always a lesson in there, you know, always a lesson. And so that's good because that's what I share with you. You know, that's what I have to share with you. And they come more and more, well, both from what I learn when I study, but also just from, I think, what I learn through studying makes it possible to be aware of them as they're happening in real life. So anyway, I'll talk more about it. But again, Memorial Day, for some reason, it's like conducive to working in the yard. It's been here in Colorado and in Denver. I live in Denver. It's been a long and lovely spring. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it can stay cool throughout summer. And for me, I would be very happy with that, but that's not going to happen. And I know we've had very few hot days. And I think the hottest day was like 82, which isn't, you know, not a scorcher by any means, but that didn't happen till like the end of this month, you know, just a couple weeks ago. So, you know, in fact, it's in the 40s most mornings when Grace and I take our walks. And I love that. I love that. You know, you can still wear a coat and your sweats when you go for a walk. It's a happy time. But Saturday, this last Saturday, over Memorial weekend, was partly cloudy and mild. It was in the 70s, which was just perfect for working outside, for pulling weeds, and, you know, just getting things moving in the direction of summer, you know, where gardening goes, or where the lawn and planting and the flower beds go. And it's funny because my neighbor on one side of me is putting in like a patio, a stone or cement patio, like stepping stones. That's what he's doing. The neighbors on the other side of me were out working in their yard. It wasn't only perfect temperature wise, but it's just kind of like the time to do that. And they used to say, I remember growing up, my grandma always said, never to plant flowers until after Mother's Day. But now I really think, and I've heard it too, that Memorial Day is more the marker here in Colorado. Because, you know, a couple of years ago, we had a substantial snow the last week of May. The last week of May. And so it, you know, it killed the little flowers that were up, some of them, and knocked branches off the trees. So, you know, you can't take anything for granted around here. And those days are, you know, what markers to shoot for. But I think Memorial Day is more like it. And what I'm doing is I'm sowing seeds. You can get a lot more seeds for a lot less money than buying plants, actual plants. And, you know, it's kind of like I'm going to put them out there and see what they do and go from there. And just go from there. So it's kind of exciting and fun. But I got some of them done. And like I said, I'm going to talk more about that. But I think we're safe now. And I really do hope that the cooler weather continues, because with watering and taking care of plants, a lot of, people put pots out, with plants in them. They're going to do a lot better if they're just getting started, with cooler weather and water, rather than being, burned to a crisp by the sun, which I've experienced that too. But it was fun. I like doing physical work, and it was fun to work in the yard. And the thing I love about physical work, and I know I've said it a million times, just like painting, you see the result of your labor, and I love it. And it's fun to be sore, because you have sore muscles because you did something productive and physical. So anyway, enough of that. If you're listening live, please join me in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. I invite your comments and questions about today's show, and I will respond to them after the show. I'm not a multitasker, as I've said many times before. I can't pay attention and talk or chew gum and walk either, for that matter. But you can find me, if you want a reading, every day on 12listen.com. I'm typically available mid to later morning into the evening Pacific time. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I am on another call, just schedule a call or put in a callback request. We're all notified immediately when you put in a callback for any of the advisors, or a schedule call. So, as I said, I'm notified via text, and I will respond as soon as I can. And I really will always do my best to meet your schedule. We have reduced rates a few times a week. We typically celebrate Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. If you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And all that is you leave your email address. And then you are in the know for all the things that are going on at 12listen. My Welcome Spring 15-minute time-based session will be available for the next few weeks, and then I will transfer that into a summer, into a summer Welcome Summer TBS. So it's really, I like doing them seasonally, because seasons have a lot of power. They each have their own vibration, and the more we go with that, the better off we are. The other thing that I like to remind you of is the gratitude board on 12listen.com. It's a great tool. It's a great way for us to support you. You can post anonymously, so there's no reason not to. Just post what you're grateful for, whether it's in your experience or something that you are working to bring into your experience. And it is moderated by the 12listen advisors, which means we put our attention on your intention, and that just adds power to it. It's agreement. There's power in agreement. So, there's no reason not to. It's another way for us to support you. And I just want to thank you for listening, however and whenever you do. 12 Radio is a great way to stay inspired. It's, a lot of different voices, a lot of different passions, information and inspiration really at your fingertips. You can find archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts on 12 Radio in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. So once again, it's another way that for us to support you. So I encourage you to use it. Use it. And I just want to say thanks to Jay for producing my show today and for all that he does. And we're going to shift into the teaching segment by listening to a song by Bobby Cochran called Inspiral. That's from the Buddha Lounge 3 CD and Sequoia Records. So enjoy it, and I will be back right after. Thank you. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I think that's really neat music. Again, I'm so happy to have Sequoia music back. So I wanted to start this segment with a couple of examples of supply, personal examples of supply, which again, supply is God in the midst of you. That's what supply is. All that we need, all that we could ever want, know what we know and what we don't know exists within us because we are the individualization of source. All that is our soul, self, being, consciousness, life, and mind. And supply and that relationship with source is the substance of our supply. So that's what brings it into what we need, when we need it, as we need it. That's what brings it into our experience. So, you know, no matter what it is, no matter what it is that we need, a creative idea, a friend, money, whatever, it's constant. There is a constant flow, and we can declare ourselves or focus, you know, in a meditation on being the inlet and outlet of that supply to whoever we encounter, whoever. And sometimes that's just a smile. You know, you meet somebody on a walk and you smile or you wave or whatever, or in a store, or you hold the door for somebody or they hold the door for you. That's all supply. It's just God. God that is everything and everyone interacting with God as everything and everyone. So anyway, I talked a little bit about the yard work that I was doing over the weekend. And, you know, it's in my flower beds, there are a lot. And, you know, as the bark gets cleared out of them, they just seem to have like expanded in size when I'm looking at them. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful to just see the ground, you know, the dirt underneath that, and to be rid of that bark and mulch or whatever you want to call it. It just, that stuff just, I don't know, it disintegrates both literally and in its appeal, you know, the older it gets. So anyway, out in my very front yard at the street, the flower bed at the street, there is this insidious ground cover that takes over. It's like one day when I got home from Illinois a month ago, I looked out there and I could see, you know, the tulips were up. And I could see things coming to life. And then it's like the next minute I look in there and it's covered with this ground cover. And it is ground cover. So you can't, so they can't do a weed and feed, you know, in that bed because there are flowers that have been purposely planted there. And according to my guys that do the feeding of the tree and all the, and the shrubs and stuff, it's not a weed. It's just a ground cover. So anyway, it's ugly and honestly, it takes over. Last year, I remember I started at one side at my driveway side and went to my neighbor's driveway, and it took me 4 hours to get that stuff out of there. Just working on that. And so anyway, like I said, it's like it comes out of nowhere and then it just explodes. And I have to clear it out to find out what's actually in my flower bed. You know, what we planted, what we want to have in the flower bed. I could see the iris and the peonies because they're really tall and huge and thriving. They are just thriving. But I had to get rid of that ground cover to find our intended ground cover and geraniums and things that were lower to the ground that we planted. And thankfully, they're growing, they're expanding and taking up more space. So actually, it looks like, you know, they're kind of acing out the other stuff that I don't want there. And that's good. So it actually took less time to clear it out this year than it did last year, much less time. So that was good. it just, I could start jamming on it and just kept going. And what was lovely to see, once I could see the ground cover again that we planted, that the plants in the beds are healthier, I think, than they've ever been, even when they were first planted. Because, of course, when they're first planted, they were fragile. And the ones that weren't going to make it didn't make it. And I really and truly have left lost all attachment to them. It took a while, but I'm over it. They just didn't make it. So what is, and what is out there is doing well. And that feels really, really good. Even the irises that did not bloom this year, the foliage is healthy and beautiful, and they are tall. And that's pretty because that'll last all summer. You know, those beautiful green leaves are going to last all summer. So there is life and progress in the flower beds, and that's just very satisfying to me, very satisfying. So I hired Scott, my godsend, to clear the remaining bark out of the beds in the backyard so that I can plant wildflowers and ground cover to just take up space. You know, not putting out individual plants, like I said, but seeds. You know, it's interesting figuring out where those go. You know, because they'll say, like, I bought wildflower seeds for shade. Well, when you get them, they need some sun too. And then there are other ones that say plant in full sun. Well, the sun moves. You know, there are trees and stuff in my yard, and sometimes there's a lot of sun in the beds and sometimes there isn't. So, you know, it's like, okay, you just sort of have to wing it. And we'll see, the proof's in the pudding, right? So I'll see what comes up and what's going to thrive where and make adjustments. But boy, I bought a lot of seeds, and it was still far more cost effective than buying actual plants. And I think it would be more nerve-wracking to put plants out there and think you put them in the right place and didn't, or think I put them in the right place and didn't. But I'm excited about the wildflowers because they'll just be a variety, and they'll be color, and they'll be a variety of height and color and personality. So I'm really excited, and there's a big bed that I just filled with the wildflower seeds for shade, and I think that's got to be the right spot for them. But when I asked Scott, you know, I sent Scott a text a couple weeks ago and just asked him if, number one, if he was interested in doing that work, and he said he was, and he came by to do something to help me. Oh, with a sprinkler head had broken. So he was going to come by, fix that, and then we talked about it. And he said he would love to do it. He likes to do yard stuff. But he's busy. You know, he's busy. He's on jobs all the time. He's busy with his other jobs. So he said, I'd love to do it, but he said I will do it over a couple of weeks. And I'll come over here after work or on the weekends and just do it as I can. And so I agreed to that because, you know, it may take him some time, but I know he's going to do it. I know he's going to do it. I know he'll get it done. And has such attention to detail, which he calls OCD, that it is done and done exceptionally well. You know, really, really well. So, like I said, I knew he'd get it done. And so, my job, because now it's in progress, right? Now we're actually going to do this. We're going to tackle this. And I've got all these seeds that I've been collecting over, you know, a month or so sitting on my bar. In the living room, in a neat little row, and I look at them and I would read the directions, you know, a few times. And so I was really anxious to get started. So my work, because I'd been given not a set, you know, like I'll be here this day and have it done by this day, my work was to keep releasing that anxiousness, you know, my just my anxiousness to get started. I guess that's the best word for it. Because, once it's kind of like once I decide to do something, once I have that go, and I'm sure probably everybody's the same way, once I decide to go, I want to have it done. I want to jam on it, get it done, do my part. And this is fun too, because this is not just, hiring someone to do all the work. This is hiring someone to prepare what I need to have prepared so that I can do my part. And so, like I said, I just kept giving away that anxiousness and curiosity. I wanted to text and check in and find out when he thought he'd be here. But then I'd go back to, I'll get it done over the next couple of weeks after work when I can. That's what he said. And so I would just give that away. I don't know when he's going to be here. I don't know. And I just relinquish all attachment to it. And that helped. And in fact, the last time I did that was like last Wednesday. And I'd gone out to pull the trash cans in. It was trash day. And I got the trash cans put away and I see this car driving by, turn around and pull into my driveway, and it was Scott. So, give it away. Here we go. And he came and he worked. He got here, I don't know what time he got here. He got here in the evening. So it was 5, maybe later than 6, maybe even later than that. And he worked until it was dark. In fact, he was working in the dark and he cleared the largest bed back there in that amount of time and tilled it. I got that tiller on sale from Woot, the tiller cultivator. And that thing is just wonderful. It's battery operated and he used it and it works. It's absolutely perfect. So that was, the best $60 I've spent in a while. So that was good that it worked and easy to use. So he used that and that bed was cleared and tilled. So it was that was great. And it just amazes me how much work he can get done. And that's hard work. That's hard work because he had to pull out all the bark and then put it somewhere until he was going to get back. So, I mean, the guy is super strong and just goes. He gets going and he just goes. So he said he would be back on the weekend to continue. So I started Saturday morning in front, pulling grass out of the bed closest to the house. The lawn before the house was remodeled, the lawn went up to the house and it was attempting to reclaim its territory. And I'll tell you, the weeds in the front were nothing compared to this grass because grass has an incredible root system. So it took me several hours just to get that out. And it's not a big bed. But at one point I stood up. And here's my second supply in the form of Scott, saying he would do the work is one example. And here's another one. I stood up and I looked across the street, mainly because my back was killing me. I stood up and I saw a woman that I talked to all the time last fall when we would be walking our dogs. And she was across the street with her Bernedoodle named Henry, who looks like a stuffed animal. He is the cutest thing I've ever seen. And so I called to her and she came across the street and we both said the same thing. We hadn't seen each other in several months. It had been several months. and Grace and I would run into them regularly on our walks, but since last fall, we hadn't seen him. So, I told her how happy I was to see her and that I'd actually been thinking about her. And I had been. And I was wondering if maybe she'd moved or what? I didn't know. And she said she'd been wondering how I was too, because they walk past the house all the time. And she said, every time we walk past the house, Henry wants to come in and he's looking for Grace, every time they walk past our house. So she said, we'd walk past and she saw the roof being replaced and she saw Scott working on it. And she goes, I saw that there was a lot of action, but I've been wondering how you are, and I haven't seen you. Well, it turns out that she's a school psychologist, and school was over last Friday. And she said, over the winter, to get out early is tough because it's dark, and that's true. And she had to be at school, so she said, well, our walks turned into being very, very short, couple blocks around where she lives, and she just lives a couple blocks from me. But she was just asking me how I was and what had gone on aside from the construction, and I told her about that Shannon and my mom had both passed away at the end of the year, and she was just very, very kind. And after I told her how the end of 2023 went, she asked me how and what I was doing. And so we talked a little bit about that. And she'd always told me that this is her favorite house, that she loved walking by this house. So I invited her in to see it. And she brought Henry in, and we talked for a while, maybe 20 minutes or so. We talked about wildflowers and gardening and, getting things done. She plants vegetables in beds, raised beds. And when she was leaving, she said, I'm giving you my number, and you text me back with yours. She said, you've got a friend, and we will get together for a drink or coffee or something. And she just gave me the biggest hug that just made my day. Sorry. It was just perfect. It was the perfect example of supply, because I'd just been feeling a little isolated. And here she comes. Here she comes. And it was exactly she, her personality, because she's absolutely just a lovely, lovely person and a beautiful spirit. She was exactly what I needed when I needed it. So I finished getting the grass out of the bed on with my work, and cleaned the furniture and the bird bath and the things in the courtyard that morning. And I hadn't heard from Scott. So I kept, again, releasing my attachment to him coming over, on the weekend. I mean, the weekend was a 3-day weekend after all. And, like I said, when he says he'll be there, that he will get it done, he gets it done. He gets it done. And I know that. So again, here I am releasing my attachment to him getting there and continuing the work on the yard. And finally, we texted late in the afternoon, and he said he'd be here Sunday morning. Well, I had a really early appointment. I had a 7 o'clock appointment Sunday morning and got home about 8:30, and he was already here and starting work. And I expected him a little later in the morning. So he worked on clearing and tilling the beds while I made great progress pulling the weeds, those insidious weeds in that front bed. So as he cleared the beds, then I sprayed a soil amendment, and then actually by the end of the day, early evening, was able to spread the seeds in, well, two of them in the courtyard and the big bed. And then he said, I'm going to call it a day. He worked until about 6:30. So that was a very long day, almost 12 hours. And I worked too, although, really I did nothing compared to what he did. But, even pulling those weeds and just doing stuff you don't normally do, I was just beat at the end of the day, and it felt so good again to be tired from doing something physical. That's when I sleep really, really well. So, he thought he'd be here yesterday, but he's got to get a truck to haul away these huge bags of bark. And he had another job that he'd done that he needed to gather stuff to haul away from that job too. So he wasn't able to get the truck yesterday, but he's going to be here today. So he'll get that hauled away. He'll finish up. Really, now it's just the very front bed, which has no bark in it, so to till that up and get rid of the weeds, and then to finish one of the back beds. So it's really not, he's pretty much at the end. But I can't, until he does what he does, I can't plant my seeds. So he'll be here today, and I'm sure he'll get it finished up, and that will feel good. But it's so funny, I put the seeds out 2 days ago now, and I've watered them, and I keep staring at them like they're miracle seeds. They should be coming up now in 2 days. But it's the old watched pot that never boils. But it I get, I'm really excited about this. But and it probably sounds silly, and you're probably bored stiff with that story, but the beds are in the backyard, off the patio, where Channon spent a lot of time. That was his happy place. He'd go out there and sit and just enjoy the sun and the Virginia creeper, and Gracie'd be out there in the backyard, and he really, really loved being out there. And we'd sit out there and we talked about, what we would do out there in in the beds, but we just didn't have the time or the means or the space in our space to actually get it done. So this is a big deal. I think it is the last thing off the list of big things, like the roof, the guest room, the painting that had to be done. I think this is the last big thing. And that is like a big sigh of relief, when it's done. And of course, keeping the beds maintained, but that'll be easy. That'll be just what you do, what I do on an early Saturday morning, or what I do on an early Sunday morning. And that's just how it is. But having them set up and planted, and again, with the wildflowers, if they fill in the way I'm hoping that they fill in, there's really no maintenance there. They kind of eliminate weeds in and of themselves, and they grow, and they're hardy. And some of them are perennial, some aren't, but they should be beautiful. So it'll be just joyful to sit out there. Last summer, just because of everything that went on, I think on the little patio where Channon used to sit, I would go out and sit with him sometimes. But before then, we were out there pretty much every night, just sitting there enjoying the lawn and the being outside at the end of the day. And then the back patio off my office, I got it all set up, and I didn't sit out there once. There was just, priorities, other things that had to be taken care of. So anyway, it'll be wonderful to have it the main part of it just off that huge list. And I know he'll be happy to see it done. I'm sure he'll just still be out there sitting out there at times. But now it's time, after it's finished, to detach and water and wait and see what happens, and keep giving away anxiousness because the seeds aren't sprouting. So again, that's my work. That's my work. So those are my examples of supply, or in other words, being provided for by source. Just what I need when I need it. Now, I want to talk about more about detachment, desire, detachment, and demonstration. I last week talked about how desire manifests through the chakra system. And so now I just want to give you, I just want to share a story and then more information on specifically desire and what it is. And I'm going to use my words, these are my words, how to properly use it, how to properly use desire, and how to see it for what it is. It is not something that has power, but we invest so much emotion in it that we end up, suffering because we are attached to our desire. And that's what I want to talk about. A couple of weeks ago, I went to visit our friends in Colorado Springs, which is about, it's about an hour and a half away from where I live. And I went for a mutual birthday celebration. My friend, they're, it's a married couple. They're our good friends, Shannon and my good friends. And she and I are both Taurus. Her birthday was the 20th, mine was the 11th. So it was a mutual birthday celebration. And I spent the night. And it was just really, really a fun time. Well, she lost her job a few months ago and has been applying like crazy and interviewing like crazy ever since and hasn't had a job offer. Well, their daughter is getting married in the fall. And she said that there's a part of her that really doesn't want to start a new job until after the wedding, because there are a lot of things that she's going to have to do beforehand, before the wedding, that would conflict with having a new job, you know, it, needing time off, needing, you know, all these exceptions, so to speak. And that's a hard thing to do when you're new to a company and on a new job. And I totally understand that. So, as much as she wants a new job, there's this hesitation here because of the wedding. And I think it's in early fall or the end of summer. I can't remember specifically, but really, we're at the end of May, so it's not that far off. But so she has this like yes, no thing going. You know, I want a new job, but here's this other thing that's a priority and I can't get around it. And I understand that completely. I totally understand. I can feel it when I'm actually when I'm talking about it, when she was talking about it. And the thing is, so does the God that lives her understand that. There is divine timing. There is divine timing that runs underneath everything. You know, as Florence Scovel Shinn says, divine ideas never conflict. And that is a powerful, powerful, powerful statement. But as she was talking about, you know, we were sitting there eating, having breakfast, and she said, she goes, so do I just put out to the universe that I want a job? Is that what I'm supposed to do? They're Catholic. They're Catholic. So she, her husband has more of an understanding of what I do. We have great conversations. And Sharon is wonderful. Oh, she's just wonderful. But anyway, she said, do I just say that? Do that I want a job? Is that how I should do it? And you know, that just opened the door for me to talk about what I love to talk about more than anything, right? So, you know, I told her that wanting, like needing, you have to be careful about wanting because, like needing, it is self-perpetuating. It keeps what you want or what you need just beyond your grasp because you're emotionally attached, clinging to an outcome rather than letting the outcome, which already exists within you, come through you into demonstration. Michael Chmura said that the desire or the want is the hello from the universe, that what you desire is already within you. It has to be, or you could not want it. It has to be. That which I seek, I already am. You can think of the universe as a giant yes man. You say, I want that. It says, yes, you do. You say, I have that. It says, yes, you do. So the sooner you drop the wanting, the better. And because, okay, you want it. There's a big void after that, isn't there? I want that. So, wanting and needing, because we become emotionally attached to it, creates struggle. It creates struggle, attachment, and clinging. And all three of those are synonymous. And it is struggle that causes us to suffer. That's it. Wanting something to be different than it is causes us to suffer because what is is. The Buddha taught, his teaching was to eliminate suffering, you must eliminate desire. But really and truly, taken just as at that, as what that statement is, it's not possible. Because if you eliminated all desire, you would still have the desire to eliminate desire. So it's not possible. Alan Watts said the better interpretation of that, and he goes through and he explains the Chinese words and what the Chinese words, he translates the Chinese words. So he said a better interpretation, pardon me, of eliminating desire is to eliminate clinging and attachment to the desire. That's what causes suffering. Wanting and needing is clinging to an outcome, wanting things to be different than they are. It is resisting what is. And what is just what is. But what you push against always pushes back. When you resist what is, you're going to be pushed back against, and you feel that in your gut. You feel it because you're trying to change something that already is, right? And it's not going to change because it's just a thing. So the Buddha taught the middle path. You do your best. Excuse me, you do your best to eliminate desire. Desires. Like, I gotta have this, I gotta have that, I gotta have this, I gotta have that. So, really? Do we? You become more discerning, right? So, just regular, normal desires. But most importantly, you do your best to eliminate the attachment and clinging to them, like they're life and death. If I don't get that, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to have that. That is like, I mean, I could just feel that tighten up all the way from from my gut to my throat when I said that. And we do that. We do that. I have to have this or, the world's going to end. My head's going to explode because we really think it is because we're emotionally attached. And our emotions can run roughshod over us. So it really takes consciousness and work and going within, making that contact with the infinite self, which is the substance of the thing that we desire. We cling to outcomes because we're looking in the wrong direction. We're looking outside of ourselves for the fulfillment of our desires. We're looking for something to come to us from outside, and it doesn't. Nothing comes to us, it comes through us, through our understanding, our trust, our faith, and our detachment. When we understand that which I seek, I already am. Desire is put in its proper perspective. A hello or an invitation from God or the universe to become a greater expression of God. God is only glorified in my success. And my success is not just the demonstration of the desire, but the total and complete relinquishing of the power, control, and responsibility for it to God, to be the clear instrument through which it is manifested. This has been my realization over and over. When I get anxious to get something done, like the yard, I remember God is only glorified in my success, and I let it go. Success occurs in the present moment, and detachment is success. And then things happen to bring about the manifestation of the desire. The bottom line is, we are it. All that is, God, is the consciousness that lives us. God is the creator and the enjoyer, and we are the instruments through which God creates and enjoys in the physical. Now, because of that, I believe that the desire to do more, be more, have more is given us by God. God is our desire to expand. All that God is, we are right here and right now. So we have to look past the desire to the substance, which is God, that will manifest as the desire in the material, and just go along, unattached, and watch it unfold, because it will. It will. And I want to leave you, I want to end this segment with a powerful quote from U.S. Anderson's Three Magic Words. Before I do, though, I just have to say one more thing. When we are attached to a desire, we have given it power that it doesn't have. And, you know, we've idolized it, so to speak, that once I have this, I'm going to be happy. It's going to fill a hole in me that needs to be filled. We give it power. It has no power. But in giving it that power, it has power over us. And that's why we suffer. Again, a desire is just an unmanifested thing, right? And when it's manifested, it's a thing that has no power in and of itself. So when we are the instruments through which God works that desire and manifests it, we get our fulfillment from being that instrument more than the desire when it actually occurs. And that's just something that evolves, you know, in our experience. But that's it. That's the jewel. So now, the quote from Three Magic Words, U.S. Anderson. He wrote, "Infinity or God, eternal substance, eternal intelligence, that thing which is everything and yet is but one thing, that thing which is everywhere and yet is in but one place, that thing which is all time and yet is but one time, that thing which is all form and yet is but one form, infinite, eternal, only one and never changing, that to which all things are known and in which every physical object has its being. This is God, and all of God is in us this moment, right now, and all the moments to come." That really does make my head want to fly off. And on that note, I just want to say thank you for joining me today. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we relate to our world, because indeed we do create it. We're also changing the way you listen to the world. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver, and have a very, very blessed week, everyone. Thank you again. Bye-bye.